Okay, we're picking up the Gemara in Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We're two lines from the top, just Esiv Abayel Rabba, so just remember exactly what the discussion. The Gemara the Mishnah told us that a person is allowed to take a hammer, as a Machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rabba, as to which, what was the main function of this hammer. According to Rav Yehuda, it's only a hammer that was dafka designated to crack open nuts. Is that hammer that he used to open nuts on Shabbos? However, if you have a blacksmith hammer, if it was a Nefachin, that would not be allowed to be used. And Rabba disagreed with this. Rabba says that no, even if it's something that's designated normally to use as a hammer, as a blacksmith, it's going to be mutter if you're using it for letzorach gufa, to use it for permitted sake, meaning to crack open the nuts. That was what Rabbah wanted to say. So now the Gemara asks a question. Esiv Abaye LeRabbah. Abaye has a kash on Rabbah based on the braisa medolcha, that when it comes to, if you have a mortar that which usually used to crush garlic, im yesh bashum metaltenosa. If there is garlic in it, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. V'im lav im metaltenosa. But if there is no garlic in it, you're not allowed to move it out, even for the sake pashas of something that's going to be mutter. So we see that a kli which has is a kli shemalachto leiser is not allowed to be moved for letzorach gufa, to use it for the heter purpose. So that's what we see from here, because if you, again, over here, to use it letzorach gufa, the verse is not mechalik and tells you that it's okay. So it seems to be that it's going to be usher. So then our answer is, Amarle, Hamani Rabbi Nechemiah, Demar in kli nita letzorach tashmisho. So the buyer responds and he says, who is this opinion that the verse is talking about? This is only Shitas Rabbi Nechemiah that holds that a kli, a utensil on Shabbos, is only allowed to be taken out for the sake of its designated purpose. Rabbi Nechemiah is understanding that even a kli shemalachta leheter, kli shemalachta leheter, something that's used, like a, let's say a fork or something like that, is only allowed to be used for the purpose of eating. You can't use a fork to another purpose on Shabbos, to use for another purpose. So that, if it's for so using it for a different purpose, that would be usher. So what would happen with our kli that's designated for a prohibited use, like the mortar, it's not allowed to be moved at all, because that would not be considered its purpose. Now, just getting into the concept, but why is it that even according to the Gemara's Havamin over here, that im yesh bashum metaltenosa, but at the end of the day, why, if it has garlic, is allowed to be moved on Shabbos? Why should that be? So this is a very big shaila. In the Rush says that this is based on the Gemara we saw earlier, that it's permitted to move a mukta. We had the dead body. When Shlomo Melech asked about the dead body, they said put a kikar, a tinok, on the dead body, and you can move the dead body. So the Rush says that this is that same concept over here, that you're allowed to move the utensil when there is a mukta, a non-mukta item. That seems like what comes out over here. However, this is very questionable. Many Rishonim disagree. They say, no, that's only by a mace. That's only by a dead body, because a dead body is a covered a mace, that we allow this heter to just put a non-mukta item there and then you can carry it. They say differently. They explain that based on the Mishnah Brura over, the Mishnah Brura actually explains the Shin Ches. The Mishnah Brura explains clearly that this is according to the other Rishonim, because actually the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rush as a Yesh Omer. The Shulchan Aruch says, that Yesh Matirim, that you can take a Klish Matil Isser, even Mechal Matzel, Ida Ki Karatina, you can put something else on it that's mutter and put it there. However, the Mishnah Brura on that point says no. Many Rishonim disagree with this, so you shouldn't pass it like that. However, the Mishnah Brura says, though, if you have, now that's only when you have a munach betoch hakli, that's something that's not miyuchala. However, if you have a dera miyuchala, like over here, you have the garlic, which is miyuchala, right? And you have it in over there, then it's going to be glakuli alma, it's going to be mutter to move it, because aglava mayachal, it then becomes kilu a kli shemach talahetar. The Mishnah Brura gives another example. Let's say I have a pot. A pot, many times, most of the time, maybe, is going to be used for cooking, so therefore it's a kli shemach talahetar. However, also a pot, many times, is also used to hold food and to eat the food that you cooked in it. And so if you're using it as just a serving pot as to hold your food, so then the Mishnah Brura says that everyone would agree that it's not considered kli shemach talahetar at that point. It's going to be considered at that point kli shemach talahetar. So that's what comes out from this medocha over here, that even though it's still considered medocha, something used to grind, but since its purpose is equally to hold the garlic there, is equally its function, so therefore if it has the garlic in it, we're not going to assume it's going to be mukta. So the Gemara now says, though, we have another kash on Rabbah, based on another Mishnah, the Braisa tells us, Vishavin, that when it comes to the machlokas, Bishavin, we still don't have the gears of the middle part, but that is the Mishnah was talking about. If you have a pestle and yantiv to chop the meat, so the both Bishavin and Bishavin are going to agree, Sheim Sheim Kitzev, a love of basar, that if someone already chopped the meat on this pestle, then asr letal tilo. it's going to be usher to move it afterwards for any other purpose. That when it comes to this pestle, Rashi points out, since it's normally used for grinding, it's going to be considered a klish machtel le'isr. It's going to be considered that's usher. However, Bisila allow you to use it on Yontif to chop meat on it. However, Bisila seemingly only allow you to use it because of Simchas Yontif. That's the only reason. So they're going to agree to Bishamay, though, that after you already chop the meat and no longer need it for your meal, you're not allowed to use it for any other purpose. So now it sounds like, you see from here, that so seemingly that something that's usually a klish machtel, something is usually used for something that's usher, it's not allowed to be moved. You're not allowed to use letzorach makomo for any other, or tzorach kufa really, to use it for any other permitted purpose on Shabbos. Seems like against Rabbi Shita. So the Gemara says, Savar l'shnuya le'ikrib b'nechemiah. Rabbi wanted to understand that maybe the Braisa is also going with the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. However, came in a shamel l'hadam Rab Chena bar Shmila b'shmeid Rav. He heard that in the name of Rav, kol modim b'sike zayre umzore, that everyone's going to agree when it comes to like this launderer's pin and these presses and these clothing things that they're not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. They came under kapitalai because a person is cares about them that they might get ruined. Miachid la makom, he designates a place for storing them, and therefore he sets them aside. It's not going to be considered. It's going to be mukta that you don't want to use it anymore. So then haninami. So this too is going to be something miachid la makom. The owner designates a specific place for storing them, and therefore doesn't want to move them, and therefore everyone's going to agree it's not be moved. So basically, he's saying that this. I originally thought that this is really a shaylov klish malaf to leser. That's what the Avamina. However, once he understood that this is really a problem of this geder, the famous geder over here, that we're saying that it's miyachid lamakom, you care about it, and kapitalai rather, that you're makbid about this item, and therefore you're going to designate a place, that is going to be a new category of mukta machmas chesaron kis. Mukta machmas chesaron kis is usually a thing that a person is makbid, that you shouldn't, it's very careful, it's usually something he's very careful, he doesn't want it to get broken in any which way, and you'll only use it for the purpose that it's used for. Usually, like let's say the classic example is a mila knife. A mila knife, you'll only going to use it to do the mila. You don't use it to cut meat. That's not because it's expensive and it's careful. So therefore, you're going to be miyach lemakom. You designate a place for it, and therefore you don't move it. And this is the category mukta machmas chesaron kis, which we don't allow you to move neither for tzorach gufo or the tzorach makomo. Tzorach makomo actually is a little bit of a shaila in Nazir Shimshon. The Rav Yashuv quotes this, and Nazir Shimshon wants to tie that mukta machmas chesaron kis. Maybe the tzorach makomo, you are allowed to move it. He has a whole svara why that should be, but lechora that sheet is rejected. We hold the mukta machmas chesaron kis is something that is not allowed to be moved at all, even for tzorach gufo, tzorach makomo, even if you need that space or if you plan on using it for hetar purpose. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says itmar. And that would be the case of here. Again, why Beis Hillel agree you're not allowed to move it? Because it's something that is important to you. You don't want to move it, therefore. The Gemara says, itmar. So we learn, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, kurna shel zahavim shaninu. So now when our Mishnah was talking about a hammer, so when we're talking about a hammer, that our Mishnah is really dafka talking about a goldsmith hammer. Rashi points out that this goldsmith hammer he is a little bit careful. Not so much, but he is a little bit careful to make sure that, you need the surface to be smooth in order to when you can continue, you're going to flatting out sheets of gold afterwards. You want to make sure that it's going to stay smooth. So therefore, you are a little bit makbid about it. However, there still is at this point, though it's not. It's the Mishnah telling us that it's not necessarily an ordinary backsmith hammer. The chiddush is over here, even the kornel shel zahavim. So this is really like Rabbah, that tzorach, something that's used for something that's generally an iser, is still going to be mutar l'tzorach gufa. Rav Shevin bar Abba Amar, he says. He says that even when it comes to the spice maker's hammer, that's also going to be mutter. If you usually use it for crushing spices, this is going to also follow Shita's Rabbah, that at the end of the day, it's a klish malachtel iser, but here it's Tzorach Gufa. It's Tzorach Gufa, using it for a permitted purpose, is going to be mutter. Now the Gemara just clarifies, the Gemara says, man to amar de besamim, one who holds that this ruling about the spice maker's hammer is going to say it on with regards to the spices, his hammer, kol shekein does zahavim. Then it's going to be, you would say, kol shekein certainly is going to say that a goldsmith's hammer is going to be mutar l'tzorach gufo, because you're more makrid usually on the spice maker's hammer than on the gold maker's one. Rashi points out, because you're afraid shelo yamis, you're afraid it shouldn't get ruined and dirty if you use it. So you are makrid about it more than the goldsmith. So even something I'm makrid about, we're not going to call it mukta machmas chesaron kis, rather we're going to call it klish malach l'itzer. So then, kol shekein, I would hold that when it comes to the zahavim, that we're going to hear that's mutter. Man damash shel zahavim, however, the one who holds that we're talking about a goldsmith's hammer, so then that would dafka be a goldsmith's hammer, and not, well, there was something kapir alai. However, the spice maker's hammer, then the owner is going to be careful about it, and it would be mukta machmas chesaron kis, and therefore, you're not allowed to use it even l'tzarach gufa. You're not allowed to use it for heter purpose because it's going to be in the more chamer category of mukta machmas chesron kiss. Again, mukta machmas chesron kiss, we're more machmer that we don't give you the heter of tzarach gufa l'tzarach makoma, using it for its heter purpose or using it because you need the space. Mukta machmas chesron kiss is much more machmer, and in that case, we don't allow you to move for those two purposes. Now the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in our brisa, paga shetabna betevin. When it comes to paga, like unripe figs, they were buried in straw before Shabbos, and you leave it there in order to ripen. So and straw, Rashi points out, is mukta because you usually use it to prepare cement. So therefore, it's going to be mukta. And so and v'charara shetamna b'cham, or if you have a cake that was buried in the coals on Shabbos because you wanted to bake the cake, and then you wanted to bake the cake and you left it, and then obviously the coals are no longer lit because if the coals are still a fire, then you have a shayla of a real mavir over there. So we're talking about the coals already had gone out, but they're going to be mukta now because they're used for isra purpose. So these coals are mukta. Im megula miktasa muta tata. If part of the fig or the cake was open, it was left, meaning it was exposed, and it was open to the ground, and it was exposed above the ground, then you can move it. Vim lavasra la tata. But if it's not exposed, it's not open, then it's going to be usur to move it because it apparently you're going to be touching the mukta. If it's not sufficiently exposed, you're going to be directly touching the mukta. In the first case, you're going to be indirectly, that's going to be tiltum and atzad, which we're going to see that's going to be mutter. However, if you directly have to touch the mukta, that's going to be usr. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, he says that tofvin bekosh o bekarkar, that even if it's not exposed, someone is allowed to insert a reed or a shuttle in, and lift it up, vein menaras malem, and then these straw or the coals are going to fall off by themselves. So he holds it as long as someone doesn't move the mikvah directly, meaning with his hand or something like that, he is still going to be allowed to move it, even though it's going to be lifted somewhat. Here the chiddush is that this is still called tiltum and atzad, and it's going to be called indirect, and then therefore it's going to be mutter. And the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman, Alacha, Rav Elazar ben Tadai, Alacha is going to follow Rav Elazar ben Tadai, that tiltum and atzad in this case, even though it's coming out, and you're indirectly going to move the mukta item, that's still going to be mutter. The Gemara says, L'mimar, Desavar Rav Nachman, tiltum and atzad, lo shmei tiltel. There's really, that implies that Rav Nachman holds that moving indirectly is not considered, with regards to mukta, it's not a problem to move it on Shabbos. V'amar Rav Nachman, hai pulga, Rav Nachman had a case when it came to a radish that had previously been plucked, obviously, because otherwise you have a shayla of removing it from the ground, so that you're not going to have that problem. But however, if it's a mukta problem over here, if it was lying on the right side up, then it's going to be permitted to take it out of the ground. However, if it was upside down, it's going to be usher, because when it's upside down, if it's buried upside down, only the narrow part of the bottom is going to be open, and someone who's going to lift it up is automatically going to lift up some of the dirt that is mukta. So this dirt is going to be mukta, and it's going to be moved indirectly. Yet Rav Nachman tells you it's usher to move it, and that considers tiltum and atzad, yet Rav Nachman was machmir. So the Gemara says, Hadabi Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman retracted the halacha that he held, that he originally held about the tzun, about the radish, and he held that the radish would be mutter to move it, and indirect is mutter. Why is, assuming the other way around, why do we assume that he was more makil? Because apparently the halacha allows you to do tiltum and atzad, so why not? We should make the ukimta that Rav Nachman was seemingly going the way that we're going to pass it. The Gemara continues now, machat shel yad, litol ba, when it comes to the hand, in order to remove the splinter with it. So now the Gemara continues on the subject of a broken needle. The Gemara says, shalach le rava, brei de rabbi of Yosef, yalmeir rabbeinu. Our Rebbe should teach us, machat shenitol charara ukta maho. When it comes to the lacha about a sewing needle, that you take out the eye of the needle, and you remove it, does it lose its status as a kli, and therefore it's going to become muksa because there's no function on Shabbos? Something doesn't have a function on Shabbos, you don't set it aside for use on Shabbos, it's no longer going to be mutter to move it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Leir of Yosef responded, Tinyasu, we learn in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us, our Mishnah, Machat Shal Yad Litol Basakot. When it comes to the hand needle, the sewing needle, you're allowed to remove it, remove a splinter with it. So what is the difference if there's a splinter, if there's a what difference is there to the splinter? If the needle has an eye or doesn't have an eye, at the end of the day, the Mishnah is allowing you, because the fact that you can remove the splinter, it's going to be mutter to therefore move the sewing needle, and therefore it's used for this tag, it's going to be mutter, and therefore it's going to remain a kli, because at the end of the day, as long as it's able to remove a needle, that is going to, even though the needle isn't fully functional kli for the terms of being a needle, but it's helpful for what you need it for, and therefore it's going to be something that is not considered mukta on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Esive. So Rava Baraba had a kasha on Rav Yosef based on the Mishnah, though. Machash nital charara ukta tahora. That if you have a needle that the eye Rabban Ruh moved, it's going to be tahor, and it's not going to be stuttled to tumah. Normally, things that are tahor are things that had lost its status as a kli, and therefore it doesn't necessarily have a main function. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye says, what are you talking about? That's tumah tuma vitara. Yeah, when it comes to tumah vitara, it loses status because it's not a kli, but that's a different halacha though. Tumah Shabbos Karamas tumah kli ma'isabani. When it comes to kluma, there's a different getter. When it comes to whether it's going to be tameh vitara, if it was something that was tameh to lose its status, all we care about whether it's a kli ma'isa, whether it's a fashion kli, whether it's a fashion vessel, that's something that would clarify it as something that would remain tame. And as soon as it breaks enough, that's no longer considered a clay maisa, not a clay maisa, not something that's considered a real fashion vessel, at that point, it's going to lose its status as tuma, and it's now going to be tahor. However, no, when it comes to Shabbos, a different getter or gantin. When it comes to Shabbos, the getter is that something has to be fit for use. And this is obviously something that you can be using. You can remove the splinter and with it, even if it doesn't have the eye. Therefore, there's different halachas over here. The word says, Amar Rava, Rava disagrees with the Baye. He goes with the first pshat. He says, Madika Mosif Shavu Mosif, the one who asked the Kasha on Rav Yosef, he was asking a good Kasha. When it comes to the fact that why Tuma, we see that it's no longer considered a Kli, it's not considered a utensil, so too when it comes to Shabbos, it shouldn't be considered a Kli, it should be Mukta on Shabbos. Mesiv, the Kasha on Rava, the Brisa tells us, it says explicitly when it comes to a needle that it has an eye or it's not pierced, it's allowed to be moved on Shabbos. However, when the halacha that they said that whether it's pierced or not is going to make a difference in the halacha, that's only with regards to tumah, that if it doesn't have its status, it doesn't have it's piercing, it's going to be tahor. It's going to lose its status as a kli. But we see clearly that the Brace is telling you that there's a chiluk between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Tumah Vitara. So how did Rava want to tell you that it was a good kasha? The Gemara answers, the Gemara says, Tamar Abaye leader Rava. So Abaye himself answered for Rava, why would this wouldn't be a kasha on Rava? Begulme askinan. We see over here, the Brace is telling us, we're talking about unfinished needles. Even though they're not considered a kli with regards to Tumah, they are going to be considered a kli that's functionable for Shabbos and not be mukta. So the Gemara says, Zimna because sometimes a person wants to use them and designate them for use on Shabbos, and therefore they would be lose their status as mukta, so they're allowed to be used on Shabbos. However, if where we're assuming where the needle its eye or was removed, Adam Zorkel Ben Grushas, a person is going to throw it out. Therefore, it's going to become something that is mukta, and therefore, it's going to be something that is going to be, therefore, it's going to be something that you no longer move. And then when it comes to this halacha, we're assuming that there's no reason to be mechalek between the halachas of Tuman and the halachas of Shabbos when it comes to this halacha specifically, that the broken needle is still going to be fit for use to remove a splinter. However, people don't save it for that purpose. They're going to discard it immediately. Even though it can be used for that, that's still going to be mukta. Now the Gemara says, now, Asuva, yeah, so that was, we moved on to that. Now we're going to a different subject of something that's lesser in Shabbos. Asuva Yanuka. Someone wants to straighten out the limbs of an infant. Apparently, apparently there's something they used to be able to do to remove displaced ligaments. They would fix his limbs. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Asir. Rav Nachman says, Asir, do this in Shabbos. Rav Shesha says it's permitted. Obviously, we're talking about there's no pikuach nefesh, anything like that. Just them to do this on Shabbos, Rashi says, because it's Asir, because dami la mesakin. It looks like you're like fixing something, and that is Asir. People are going to get confused and think that it's mutter to fix things on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now, Amar Rav Nachman, how do I know, from where do I know this, that it's going to be usher? It's not. We learn in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us, that there's no, and that person's not allowed to take a pill that'll make him throw up on Shabbos. Rashi points out there's nothing to do with health. I mean, you're talking about a totally healthy person. Apparently, in order to eat more, people used to do this. It was a common thing to take this pill. It used to make them throw up, and they would want to eat more. It opened their stomachs more. They'd eat more, 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 and have more hana, and then they'd throw it up so they'd have more room to keep eating. So we learn from here that they're not allowed to take it. And we're assuming that just as it's usher to repair your body by taking this, so too it's going to be usher to repair your body by straightening the limbs. And where it says Rav Sheshes, he's going to answer, no, hasam lav orche achal orche. No, when it came to a person who has the more says, it's lav orche, it's not the normal derech, it's not the normal way a person takes these pills, it's not the normal way a person does that. However, here, you can do it, and obviously it's a maichal brim, because it's not something that for sick people, because then you have the problem of taking refu on Shabbos. However, it's something that's not necessarily the normal course of what people do. The Gemara says, however, when it comes to straightening limbs, apparently that is something that's more normal, and therefore, since it's part of the normal way of doing it, it's not going to be usher. That's what Shesha is telling, it's therefore it should be mutter. The Gemara says, Amar of Shesha. Shesha said, Mina minala, from where do I know to say this halacha? This is not because we learn in our Mishnah, Machat shal yad litol basakot. When it comes to the hand needle to remove a splinter with it, it's going to be mutter, and we see though that there's no isser against fixing the human being over here, even though you're taking out the splinter. The Gemara says Rav Nachman is going to respond, Hasan Pocket. There, when it comes to the splinter, that's considered something that's really embedded in the skin, and therefore taking it out is not considered actually a tikkun of repairing it. However, halcha lo pakid, when it comes to the limbs, they're not really embedded. Rather, they're not merely embedded, they're actually attached to the body, so therefore moving them around is going to be more similar to masakin, and therefore it's going to be us. Okay, now the next mission says, kana shel zisim. When you have reeds that are used for turning olives, im yesh kesher b'roshim mekabel tumah, that if there's a knot at the end, it's going to be susceptible to tumah. Im lav ein mekabel tumah, and if it's not, it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. Bein kach bein kach, b'Shabbos, either way, it's going to be mutter to take this on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to see this, and the Gemara analyzes this mission. Where it says, amai, why is this so that it's susceptible to tumah? Pshutei klei itzin. Over here, the reed is a flat wooden utensil. It has no receptacle, so therefore, it's going to be something that's pshutei klei itzin. Pshutei klei itzin is not something that's susceptible to tumah. And how do I know this? Pshutei klei itzin mekabel tumah. My time. What's the reason that they're not susceptible to tumah? Because tumah de sakbin, and we learn it out from the pasuk which quotes mekol eitz beged or osak. It has to be wooden utensil, garment, leather, or sack. With the fact that the wooden utensil is together mentioned with the sack, the Torah is teaching you they're referring only to wooden utensils that are like a sack, which are able to have a base kibble. So therefore, if you have a wooden kli, which is straight, and the kli is just straight kli and no opening, so therefore it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara now says, Tanya b'shmei d'Rabin Chemia, that we learn Tanya named Rabin Chemia, b'shal shem ha'pech b'zeisim, when someone is turning over the olives with the reed, hofcho v'roebo, he turns it over, and he looks at the end to see if the oil that remains in the hole over there is formed by the knot. Therefore, we see that this little hole is considered a base kibble. So that's answering why it is going to be mekabel tuma. That's why it's going to depend on this knot, because this knot is creating this hole that's going to be holding it to see that when the olive's coming out, it's going to hold up to see, you're going to be able to see the olives, and therefore that is going to create the status of the tumah. The Gemara now continues with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hakel v'netalim chutz min hamashma gadol v'yotzer shel machareisha. That Rabbi Yossi says that all utensils are allowed to be taken on Shabbos except for a large saw and a blade of a plow. These two things are not allowed to be taken on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Hai ulcho de katzah b'kiyosat shel machshesh adamya. That Rav Nachman said, when it comes to the launderer's sprinkler, I don't exactly know what that is, that's how it's translated, that's going to be similar to the blade of a plow. That they're going to both be mukta. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Charba de ushachfei. That when you have a tanner's knife, so it's a kina de ashkafta, or a butcher's knife, the chatzina nargay, or a carpenter's draw knife, kiyasid shamachas, and these are going to be similar to the blade of a plow, that people are usually not going to use any of these things unless they're using them for the specific purpose. Therefore, they're going to be considered mukta, and therefore they're not going to be allowed to be moved on Shabbos. That's what comes out over here. The Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, when they're on a braisa, berishona, originally, they said that only three kelim are allowed to be taken on Shabbos. Everything else is considered mukta. And these are the knife that's used to cut a fig, a cake for a pressed fig. Rashi says, or if you have this type of ladle that's used for taking out the part of the top of the skimming of the foam of a pot. Why isn't that, Rabbi Yashu discusses, why wouldn't that be boder? Or a small table knife. These apparently are kelim, which is going to be considered you use them all the time, so there's something that they use all the time, so therefore they're going to be mutter. So what exactly is going on? We're going to see basically in the Hamshach of the Gemara that these are talking about in the times of Nehemiah ben Chaliyai, that this is the time of the Bayashini, that people were not careful with Lechol Shabbos, so therefore in order that people start being more careful, even moving any utensils, the Rabbanim therefore made a gzera. The shaila is exactly, was everything included in Pashas? The Rishonim point out that it's not going to include things like cups, plates, bowls, and plates. You can tell that they didn't have those things. Those are mamash never used for Isser points, so therefore they didn't, we weren't gozer on that. Really, it was everything else, though, every other type of kli, there were gozer. For there's a shaila exactly what they were trying to prevent. The machlokas over there. The one day is that they're, when it comes to the kli shvach to Isser, I'd say, we're afraid you're going to actually do an Isser with this, so they're afraid you're going to do an Isser. I said, no, it's all mitzvah tzah. They're going to come to take it out. And that's why all these things are us in the first place. So now, either way, the Gemara says that this was what they originally did. Then, heitiru v'chazur v'heitiru v'chazur v'heitiru. Later, they then permitted additional utensils, and then they allowed more. Until they said that everything's been mutter to take on Shabbos except for this large saw, or the blade of the plow, those two things are going to remain usher. Those things are going to remain usher because these things are, we're afraid of muktzah, machzah, chesum, kiss, and therefore we're going to say that they're usher. The Gemara continues, my etir v'chazer v'etir v'chazer v'etir. What were these three stages? They permitted in the third permitted. What are these three stages of permitting things? So it's going to be machlokas Abayir and Rava. The Gemara says, Abayir says, Amar Abayir, etir davar shemlach lehetir l'tzorech gufo. What do they permit? They permitted taking something that's used for heter purpose. Meaning, the Rabbanan said that when you have a klei shalach leheter, like let's say a fork or something like that, that is permitted to use for any other heter purpose. And let's say you just even want to move it, not necessarily for using it, but just move it around because you needed space or something like that, that is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, then they allowed it even to use it for a place. If I need the area where the fork is right now on my table, I'd be allowed to, again, let's say the fork's not going to be like a key or something like that, then I'd be allowed to move it also. Then they further permitted to use something that is going to be, so Devar Malach Isser is generally used for something that's usher to do on Shabbos, like a hammer, however, they only allowed it for the sake of using the hammer, let's say, to break open a nut, but they do not allow it for moving a tzarech makoma. If the hammer is on your table, that you're not allowed to move it. But dain biyado achas in ushteda yadav lo. However, this item is only going to be allowed to be moved with one hand, but it's not going to be moved with two hands. Ad she'amru, because it's too heavy. At that point, we're going to keep it as muktzah. Ad she'amru kol kim dam shabbos afilu b'shem. No, even heavy items are allowed to take on Shabbos. Except for obviously the two things we mentioned before, the Messer Gadol and the Yasej Shemacharisha, that the saw and the plow are still going to be usher to move. The Gemara says, Amar Le Rava, no, Michti Etirik, the fact that Raisa tells the Lashon that it's permitted, that implies Mali Torah Kuvla Torah Makoma. He assumes that it's all one zero. When you're moving it for its place, or you're moving it to as a heter function, if the hammer is on my table and I move it, or if the hammer, if I'm cracking it open, that's all part of the same zero. So once they're matter one, they're going to matter the other. So Ella Marava, he's going to explain the Shalshal says the varim differently. Let's explain how what came out differently. Then where it says now, hey, tira davar shemelachto leheter bein latorach gufa bein latorach makoma. They permitted to something that's used primarily for something mutter, whether that's bein latorach gufa latorach makoma for any purpose, if it's a mutter purpose or you needed its place. The chazer v'tira mecham latzel. And here they further included that you can take it from the sun to the shade. When the chamal says usually just you're protecting it from not getting damaged. So if let's say it's outside, you're afraid it's going to rain. Can I bring it inside? So that's something that's normally not necessarily as a real function for something on Shabbos, so therefore we're going to see that that's not going to be mutter in all circumstances. For a klimach leheter, though, let's say I have an item, a fork, whatever it might be, things like that, that is going to be mutter to bring it inside the house. However, then they also permitted the klishmach leheter, like a hammer, however, they only permitted it for the use of its sake or you needed space. So let's say you have a hammer outside and you're afraid it's going to rain, you would not be allowed to move it in. That's a shaila. Let's say, can you do a harama? Can you take the hammer and then break open a nut, even though your main purpose is that you don't want the hammer to get ruined? That's a very big shaila in the postgame, whether that's so mutter. Also, let's say also, can you move it, pretend you need the space, you harama, and you don't really need it? Those are both shailas. However, this is only by one person. However, something that's so heavy you need to be taken by two people, maybe it was still muktzah, then they added that, all you have to do is be taken Shabbos, even if they're two people. So the Gemara says, Akash and Rava, the more Esavi, Abaya, Abaya is Akash and Rava, though. Medocha, when it comes to the mortar we learned about, we saw this in the Brisa before, when it comes to, if it has garlic in it, it's allowed to be moved. If it doesn't have garlic, it's not allowed to be moved. We can see this as referring to the fact that the medocha is not allowed to be moved, even the pasha sounds like the tzarech makoma. So how are you going to explain this? And where it says akamay askinan mecham aletzel? No, whatever is going to explain what iser is it over here? Mecham aletzel, the fact that you're moving the sun to shade, that's why it's aser, because that's a klishim lachta iser. You're not allowed to move it just to protect it. And where it says esivay, another reason. We saw that v'shavin, when it comes to b'shavin b'silo, they agree with regards to the pestle that im shim katzav alabaser shasel tato, after I already used it to cut the meat, it's no longer a mutter for me to move it. Why can't I move it? Litzorech gufa. How are you going to explain that? The Gemara says mechachanami mechamal etzel. Rav is going to respond. Host you also. When is it usher to move it only from chamal etzel? However, otherwise it would be mutter to move it for tzorech gufa, tzorech makoma. The Gemara now says Amar lo Rabbi Chanina. So when was this whole brisa taught? B'mei Nechemia ben Chalayda shnishnas b'shnas. This Mishnah was taught in the times of Nechemia ben Chalayda. Chsev b'yamim ha'em ra'isi b'yud d'dorach and gitos b'shabbos b'vim ramos. During those days, saw people in Yehuda, they were violating Shabbos. They were on their wine press and they were bringing piles of things back and forth from the fields. They're doing otzah. They're violating all these halachas. So therefore, therefore they made this gzera, very big shaila, that why in the world was it at this point? Wasn't it an earlier takana Shlomo Melech we saw had the shaila of mukta? So how would that? Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch, the different terusim. So if there's a terus, Shulchan Aruch Rav, I think the Gra is a different terus. So Shulchan Aruch Rav, I'll just go with that one really quickly. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that really mukta existed on kli, on mukta machmas gufo. Something has no purpose on all for Shabbos, like a stone or things like that. Everyone already, that was already in time of Shlomo Melech. When it comes to mukta of kli shemalat lester, that was gozer. That was all from the time of Bayashani and onwards. By the way, the Gemara continues now. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, "Kehane makaltas of klusta to meducha kulan kodem ataris kelim nishnim." That when it comes to these two tubes, the staff or a knob of meducha of the mortar, those are all taught before the items were permitted. That's what we're learning over here. And then he says, Kanin, when the Gemara now analyzes, the Gemara says, Kanin, the son, we learn in the Mishnah, it says, Lo Sidur, Kanin, Velim, Tan, Lucha, Esa, Shabbos. That you, the tubes, and we're talking about the Kanin they used to have in the Beis HaMikdash, when they used to put the bread, the Lechem upon him over there. So those, arranging them, or removing them, was not violate, you were not allowed to violate Shabbos. So that we see from over here that these braces all affect the law, that really that these were before the third level that was mutter, because we're allowed to do that. That should be lechora hatar gavra. Now the Gemara says matlos, when it comes to the staff, the stand we learn in the Mishnah matlos dakim chalakin ayushim. There was also thin smooth staff in the base of Megdash manichal ksefo val kesef chaviro. He'd put the staff on his shoulder and his friend shoved till mashis. And this is talking about the korban pesach. They used to hold it in the air and they would skin the korban pesach. So the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe, or Lazar, Rebbe Lazar said, Arba Asr Shechal Yos Pesach, Manich, Yadah Kasu Chavirah, V'yad Chavirah Aksefah, V'tola Mafshis. So the Gemara says over there, that they would place his hand on his friend's hands, and therefore, and then, they would skin it in that circumstance. So we see over here, that according to him, it would be Asr to take the staffs, even for the Hetzer purpose over here. So Lechora, this was all before the last Gzira, in which it was permitted to take them. That's what the Gemara is pointing out from here. Okay, Mirz Hashem, I'll pick up with Glitch, Mirz Hashem, tomorrow.